Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Jacqueline Ortiz. She's the self-love diva. I love that. I'm going to put that on a bumper sticker on my car. She's also a mentor of empowerment. She empowers people. She's the mentor. She teaches people how to. She's also a speaker and an author, bringing out the extraordinary you. I like that. Extraordinary you. I'm pointing to her right now on the Zoom call. She then guides you in creating a life you love. I love all this stuff. She is also the founder of Extraordinary You and has created the Echo system, but it's spelled E-C-C-C-H-O. And we're going to talk as much as we can about all this stuff. We got a lot to talk about. So I want to thank you very much for being on the show today.
Actually, Philip, I'm the one that feel privileged and honored because I'm thrilled to be here with you. I can see we have amazing synergy together. So this is going to be fun. I'm ready for it. Let's do this.
Absolutely. So my first question to you will be, what was your serendipity, your accident, your coincidence that happened in your life? I'm sure there are many, but something that comes to mind that pointed you in the direction you are now. You didn't wake up one day and do all this stuff. But what kind of point are you going, I better go this way. I'm being pointed that way that got you to where you are now.
Well, I don't know if I was calling it pointed or sledgehammer across my head, but it's not a perfect storm that became my perfect blessing. I was working at numerous restaurants with my ex-business partner and ex-husband, Dynamic. Anyway, so we have 5 restaurants. I was working 80 plus hour work week, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, because one was open 24 hours a day. Can you imagine? Right. My hormones were out of whack, unstable, adrenal fatigue, end of a five-year relationship. Everything happened. And it was like, boom. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm out. Okay. I mean, literally, it was a sledgehammer across my head. It's like, get out. Hello, wake up call. Anyway. So finally, I called my ex-husband, who also happens to be one of my business partners. And at midnight, I called him. I go, I got to go. He goes, where are you going? I go, I don't know. Because when are you leaving? I go, tomorrow morning. He goes, what? The next morning, I packed everything I could into the car. I was living in East Boca, Florida. And I got in my car and I started driving. I didn't know where I was going, what I was going to do, but I knew I had to go. So anyway, so you know when like you have kids, I don't have children, but people that have kids, they're like, mommy, are we there yet? Mommy, are we there yet? That was my mom. My mom would keep calling me Jack. It's like this cycle of like life.
Yeah.
I mean, you there yet? I go, mommy, I don't know where I'm going. Those, but are you there yet? You're almost there. I go, I have no idea where I'm going. But can I tell you something? I don't want to get to where I'm going because wherever I am now, it's amazing. I'm on this self-discovery journey. And every time she'll call me a few times a day, worried about me because I'm driving aimlessly trying to figure it out. Self-discovery journey, cross country. I end up in California for a nanosecond, made a U-turn, I'm in Arizona, and I love it. I love Arizona. And that was my self-discovery journey. That it was a sledgehammer that became a velvet glove because I felt loved, encased in love. And that was universal love, whatever you want to call it. And I just felt so at peace. It was the biggest, most self-discovery journey. And what I discovered, you want me to tell you what I discovered after all those days?
Go.
Self-love is the foundation for absolutely everything in life. It is absolutely the cornerstone for a happy, joyful, purposeful, meaningful life, because that's what helps you attract everything, manifest everything in your life that you want. All your heartfelt desires come from self-love.
Well, you just summed up everything. So because self-love, it's empowering others, empowers ourselves. It's doing that to others, whatever you want to call it. But self-love is... You know, I said something, I've said this for years. Before you're with somebody, or even after or during, if you can't be with yourself, you're no good to anybody else. And it comes at different levels, of course. It's not 100%, but you know what I'm talking about. You really have to be in sync, in synergy, in the right frequency, as I call it. You have to be in the right frequency to be able to understand that there are things that are guiding you. And if you're not listening to it, you had a sledgehammer. I didn't have a sledgehammer. I just had like little knocks in the head. And I had to go through my stuff. And some calls it pain. Some of it call it aggravation. I call it learning. is you had to go through, especially, you know, working 8 million hours and owning a restaurant or many businesses. People feel like you own a business. Yeah, five. One's enough. Running your house is enough. But five? But when you run things, you know, you can't leave. People go, well, that person owns these restaurants. Oh, they got this going on. They got so much of that and this. There's a lot of work into this. It's not, it just doesn't happen. And you learn from that. Now, my question to you first would, when you had those, that voice, that feeling, that image, that thing inside you that said, you need to leave. And you called your ex, go, I'm leaving. I don't, where are you going? I don't know. Leave me alone. I got to go somewhere. Where was that a divine intervention? Does it something that you just simply woke up and go, I got to go. I can't do this anymore. And you had to really feel comfortable. It's like, are we there yet? You had to really feel confident and comfortable in your skin and trust the unseen of the universal mind, spirits, and angels. So how did you do that? Because I don't know if I would have done that.
I don't know. I'm like, it was craziness, but it's beautiful because when you got divinely guided, everything works out because I believe, and I'm sure you probably do, we just met you. I can just feel the synergy between us. I believe, and I'm sure you do, that we always, everything always happens for our highest good and we're divinely protected. So that's why. But at that time, I was sleeping. I woke up in the middle of the night. I was tossing and turning, trying to fall asleep. And you know, when you, I just got up in the middle of the night and I ran to the bathroom. I remember looking in the mirror and not recognizing the woman looking at herself in the mirror, the reflection. It was just like, and I was like, tears coming down because I didn't know. I'm like, what happened to me? I had all these goals and dreams, aspirations, all these things that I always wanted to do in my life. And I ended up with his dream. His, you know, I'm not a foodie. I can't even boil eggs, you know? And here I am running, by helping run five restaurants, 24 hours a day. One of them was open. And I'm like doing all this stuff. And I'm like, I couldn't breathe. You know, when you're in chaos, you're so much in chaos, you don't realize how bad it was. But then I ran away. I ran away from home and I ran right straight into my heart. Ooh. It was, yeah.
I like that. Did the audience just hear that? Say that one more time.
When I ran away from home, I ran straight into my heart.
Oh, that's that. I just want to let that sink in for a minute. So go ahead. No, continue on.
Yes, I know. I got God bumps up and down my back because it was true. It transformed me. It was like a rebirth. And I talk about that in the book. It's about a rebirth from the inside out, transformation. I realized the most important thing is if you can't look at yourself in the mirror and love the woman or the man you are and really feel comfortable, wow. Because I realized I was doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons.
Ooh.
That's big.
But that's a very, very hard lesson. You have to, well, you probably went through this. Unforgiveness is the most horrible thing you could do to your mind and body and spirit and soul. Forgiveness, whoa, that's really hard. But you have to forgive yourself first. Where did you come from in that soulful experience, that spiritual path? Where did you come from for forgiving yourself?
Well, I realized was that, like I said, I was doing all the right things for the wrong reasons. And the wrong reasons was for approval, for validation. I thought if I was succeeding enough, if I achieved enough, if I acquired enough, I would feel good enough inside. And I wasn't feeling good enough. I was like, what is wrong? I mean, on the outside looking in, I had the fancy cars, I had that big house, everything you would think that would make me happy. I'm like, then that made me feel more guilty because I'm thinking, I got some nerve to be unhappy when I have all this stuff.
Right.
That then made me feel guilty. And I learned that, and that's what it was doing the right things for the right reasons. That's what girls corrected, which that's when I ran away from home. And doing it for me, doing it because what would make me, my heart sing, what would make me happy? And how can I leave more of a contribution to other people? Yeah, that's what I'm all about. And actually, can I tell you a little secret?
Please.
Yeah, but nobody knows about this. But
audience, we're only talking to you. Don't tell anybody else.
No,
go ahead.
I want the whole world to know what I'm doing. It's always being sarcastic. I want to sing it from the rooftops.
I understand that.
I'm pretty. But I am really having God-driven, source, creator, whatever you want to call it, to do the quantum self-love movement, which is every day do a self-loving deed for yourself and then loving deed for someone else and have them pass it forward so we could create a heart-centered connection of love, unity, and light. And that's what I want more than anything. so that way we can have a more unity in the world. And I'm thinking that works for everything, for people, for corporations, for families, all around. Can you imagine if you wake up in the morning doing self-love and deep for yourself, then do it for someone else, and then you just keep passing forward? That is a heart-centered chain connection of just love and light and unity and blessings.
Well, that's it's one of the reasons why I'm doing the podcast show. It's I'm meeting people that are just phenomenally connected to how they consciously communicate. And we all consciously communicate. It fills into anything. I've got a musician coming up that plays, I'm not going to say who it is, and coming up that from Australia, and he plays this cool instrument. And I'm not saying who he is, or people might know who he is and the instrument, but the whole idea is he consciously communicates a feeling, and positive music is an amazing thing. You can see all the instruments I have, just redoing my recording studio here. And I play music, and I write a lot of compositions. I include that also in my seminars and my private trainings, and I do it live. And it music is a huge, huge part of God's gift that is given you to help you get into the right frame of mind. Now, I'm going to ask you a question pertaining to meditation and silence. Let's talk about silence first. I want to ask you about silence. How important is silence to you?
Okay, that's a double-edged question. It's very, very, very important. However, I don't do enough of it because I have tried, and to me it's a little frustrating because I love the idea of meditating. So what I do is I mostly do prayer, because I start meditating and it ends up in prayer because I start talking. I'm like, then I'm Jack Boyd. I'm like, oh, okay, meditate. And I'm a talker. So it's hard for me to shut me down.
But
I do mostly guided meditations, which is why I do. I'm a hypnotherapist, but only for self-love, not for cigarettes or smoking or weight loss.
Right, right.
And that's what I've done. I've created this program, which is all when you talk about music. It has to feel your music, binaural beats, left ear affirmations, right ear affirmations, surround sound, all this stuff going around. And it's all positive affirmations. It's about all about being and feeling and embracing and embodying being extraordinary. Because go extraordinary in you. So anyway, so that's what I listen to. That's my idea of meditation. I listen to my hypnosis meditation. Or I do, I found this thing called, it's a hybrid. It's called Hype Me Ups. Hype is for hypnosis. Me is for meditation. And it's to hype you up, to get you elevated.
Oh, like, right. I like it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, Hype Me Up. So it's hypnosis meditation. That's why I do my guided meditation. That's what I do. Getting me quiet, you will have to put me in a coma.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. I mean, I've talked about this before, but I had a class called Silence, Meditation, and Sleep. But you can have sleep without silence, but it's too noisy and all this other stuff. But you meditation is in the middle. And I'm teaching people. I'm going to start teaching a seminar starting in January next year, a monthly seminar, because I call this the health club for the mind. You need to build the muscle. You go to work for your arms. You do that all the time. You go swimming or you go running or whatever you do in your life. You need to exercise your mind. It needs to be constantly exercised. And some people, and there's nothing wrong with it. There is no right or wrong to this. Some people, I need silence for myself. I understand that talking thing. I understand the mind pretty well now. But if it doesn't work for you, then do some guided to meditation. There is no standard. I told you before the interview and talked about Ajinoy. You don't want to call it Ajinoy, call it bubble gum. It doesn't matter. It's just something you can use to start you off in the right direction. Okay, so I want to talk about.
Well, I told you before this. What I do is I go on my MMMM, which is my magical manifesting mountain.
And wait. Say it again. I want the audience to hear that. MMMM. Say it again.
Nobody is for me to be quiet. It's like my mind doesn't stop talking. But anyway. It's my MMMM, my magical manifesting mountain.
I love that.
I'm in Arizona.
Tell me about it.
It's a beautiful mountain. I just go hiking, but I call it my magical manifesting mountain because as soon as I put my foot on there, I start hiking. I start talking, of course, talking, still meditating, but I'm working on it. Just showing all these things I'm grateful for. And most of the times I'm holding my hand in my heart, just in gratitude. And I go, okay, take a deep breath and just silence. That doesn't work very long, but it's okay. It's walking. I feel like it's walking meditating. I get off that mountain. I'm high as a kite. It's incredible. And it's just gratitude, walking meditation. I do a walking meditation, but you can't just have me sit down not talking. It's like punishment for me.
Right, right.
Hyper person.
But you got to do what works for you. I mean, when somebody tells you, it's like, well, you know, Jacqueline, you need to do it this way. Like, well, it works for you, but not for me. So you take all these bits and pieces, got to read a lot of books, read a lot of meditative books, philosophy books, all sorts of theological books, and to come up with the philosophy and all this stuff. You were talking, one of the things I want to talk with you about, you had downloaded 100,000% something that downloaded, or we were talking about that earlier, is it sideloaded or is it downloaded or uploaded? Because we are empty tubes. And if you realize that instead of going around with the conscious mind noise, blah, 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 self-righteousness, ego, you're right, I'm wrong, negativity, there's a lot of negativity. So, and this stuff, everybody says, oh, it's the worst time ever. For over 2,000 years and further, man's inhumanity, man, hasn't changed. It's noisier because of the idiot box. I call the phone the idiot box and the computer an idiot box that plugs in the wall. But it just makes it noisier. But it's the same nonsense. And shutting that off, getting the negativity out. But how? What happened and what downloaded or uploaded or whatever inside you, inside your spiritual mind that you want to share with everybody?
Well, we were talking about, if we're discussing, depends, would you like to go with extraordinary you or the ecosystem? Ecosystem is more for companies. Extraordinary you, high vibrating printing.
Let's start with the first one, and then we'll go to the echo next. I want to see if we can go both of them. I don't know if we have time to, but we'll try. Which one do you want to start with?
Whatever rocks your world.
Let's do the first one.
Okay. Extraordinary you. We could do echo another time. I could come back. Can I be a guest again? I would love to.
Of course you can.
Myself. That's not very proper kosher, but I love you. I can tell. I love you. But anyway.
Well, yeah, it's kosher. It's good to be. I'm Jewish, so it's okay. Why they? So anyway, so tell us about it. Show me the book again. I like the picture of the book. And I'm going to tell the audience what it is. So hold it up. It's called Extraordinary You, A Synergistic Approach to Transforming Your Life from Ordinary to Extraordinary. And how long has the book been out?
It became a bestseller February 27th. I have, it's a bestseller. So it's just been a few months since the bestseller. And Excellent. That's made a program around it. I was telling you about with it. Left ear, right ear, affirmations, binaural beats. So through your music, hypnosis, all this stuff going on. So that's what I've been working on. So I've been so turned on. I always call it, I am tuned in. Tune in, turn on to high vibration. So the tune in, then tune up to whatever you call it, and then get turned on. And that's how you get turned on. But anyway, the high vibration breathing. So we'll go with that. High vibration breathing. I was sitting in front of my computer and I was typing. I was just typing and writing something. And I go on the flow. I'm just like, can't get me out of my computer. And I kept hearing something like, just go for a walk. I'm like, I can't go for a walk. I'm typing, I'm writing, I'm under flow. And I just kept hearing this. I'm like, all right, if you're going to keep distracting me, let me just do this. I'm getting frustrated. My angels.
Why didn't I give up? I'll go.
I know. I'm like, okay, all right. So I get dressed and I go to my MMM, my magical manifesting mountain. I'm on my way there. It's like a 20-minute drive. I made it halfway through and I just went, and I pulled to the side of the road. And I couldn't even get to my MMM. And I pulled that side of the road and I opened my glove compartment and I started writing notes and taking notes until I ran out of napkins. And then I remember, duh, take your phone out. But I am not very techy. It didn't occur to me.
I understand.
So I started talking into it. And that's how the Extraordinary You High Vibrating Printing System came to be. And I believe all Mazda size freaking awesome. It really is. Because it's like, you know, everybody's going through life, like you said, with the idiot box. Everybody's going through life, so much noise, so much chaos, so much going on. And so many triggers, you know, if you choose to look at it that way. And people get triggered and they don't realize why they get upset. And that's a six-step that I created, high vibrating printing, which is the first step is to recognize the triggers and recognize why it's triggering you. The second step is to regress back, to revisit, not to resign. But to see, well, what was the trigger? Not to just marinate in there, move back in the past and live there. That's right. Not about getting the golden nuggets of what it is that triggered you, what happened, and what was the earliest recollection that you can remember. I do this with my clients or with a program in regression, like the high vibrating printing, regress back in time. However, you could just do it consciously if you want to, if you're working on your own. which is just thinking back to the earliest recollection you think, and just keep going back in time and thinking, when was the first time that triggered me? And then you go back, and then the next one is to reframe. So you reframe whatever happened, ask you, 100%, well, actually 180% degrees, 180 degrees to reframe it into it. And then what you do when you're reframing it, you question it, because sometimes when something happens, it's a belief. A belief is nothing more than a lie. If you look at the word believe, in the middle of the word, it's the L-I-E. So if you, it's all a lie. It's just something you've been telling yourself over and over and over again. So now you believe it's true. But I call it the Swiss cheese method. So you start looking at that belief. Let's say, for instance, you think you're stupid, you're not capable. And you start thinking, well, when did I start thinking that? Because you got triggered by something someone said. And you start thinking about it. And you regress back, oh, my parents or my family or my siblings told me I was stupid and I was the youngest one or whatever it was, right? And then you reframe it. And you start asking yourself, is that true? Is that 100% true that I'm stupid? Have I ever done anything that makes me feel like I'm capable or able or smart? And you start questioning it. And the more you keep poking holes on it, it becomes like a Swiss cheese. You keep poking holes on it, it eventually collapses because you realize, wait, that's not true. I've been telling myself a lie. That is a belief that is not true. So therefore, let me reframe it into something that is true. And then you reframe it and you change into the way you want to see and view yourself that empowers you to be the absolute best person and at your highest level. So that's step number three. Step number four is you rewrite the story. You rewrite it from a heroine, from a hero, from a victim to a heroine or hero. So from a victim, you go into the heroine story or the hero in this case, if you're male. And you rewrite the story in such a way that, again, it empowers you, it supports you, it nurtures you into the way you wish it would have happened. And then you rewrite it. Then you rewire it. And how you rewire it over and over again, you know, the neural pathways over and over again, you tell yourself with affirmations. And like I say in my program, affirmation. Like for instance, I love affirmations. And the way in my program is worded, it's like you have no choice but to say something positive because it doesn't, the way it's framed using my hypnosis, it's framed in such a way that your brain has to command and listen to the command and come up with extraordinary ways of being that you have been or are or will be. So it's just empowers you. So Bruce H. Lipton says that two best ways to reprogram the mind, it's habituation and hypnosis. And habituation is affirmations over and over and over again. So that's the rewired. And reimprinting is, again, it's hypnosis. And it is what I call the, like I said, the hype me up, which is hypnosis, meditation, and then high vibe. So that is when you become hypnotized. You hypnotize yourself saying it over and over again. Or again, with my hypnosis program, that is about you being extraordinary in all areas of your life.
I think that one of the keys when I was listening to you, and it's all great stuff, because it takes time. Now that I'm having students and doing the seminars, I have a lot of people, you know, saying they're getting out of it, and whether they're students or not is not as important, that I know that I'm making a difference. And when I talk to people, they're like, well, how long did it take you to get to where you're at? Well, so first of all, I do this 24/7. Not everybody's doing this 24/7. It took me about a year. And when I started doing the philosophy, and I had a friend that I was nice enough to go through the pain of staking process, going, that makes no sense. That makes no sense. So you understand it. Nobody else understands it, because you have to go through these things before you can start speaking, because you have to speak it in human terms, not philosophical terms. You lose people. And I like how you're relating to that, to different terms and how to manifest things and aphorisms. But one of the things that's really important to understand, it needs to take time. We go through our whole life through school, even if you don't go to college. You go for 18 years of school. You're told what to do. Then you get your job and you're told what to do. Then you're stuck with nobody telling you what to do. And you have emptiness. And then you don't have purpose. And if you don't have purpose, the emptiness gets even bigger. And as you get older, and people going, well, it's your age. No. If you started eating, drinking alcohol at zero, by the time you're 15 years old, you'll be dead. So it's not so much the age. It just happens to be as you get older, because that's the way the human life is developed. So you're going through the school, you're going through this, and suddenly you're, say, 30 years old. And you're like, all right, like you were saying, I got this, I got that. But see, all this stuff that we have, unless you know a way to do it, you can't take this with you. it's gone. The minute you're over, you're gone. Now, I don't believe people die. I believe they just change slight frequencies. It's a phase shift. As I talk to people all the time, I see images in my mind all the time. I hear voices all the time. And there's nothing wrong with those voices. Everybody's got one. People are, oh, I don't want to admit that. Well, you're normal if you admit that you have voices in your head. The voices are good. And those voices to me are the spirits, the angels, the coincidences, the universal mind, the serendipities, accidents, coincidences, the ones that tell you to get up and go for a walk, tell you to get in your car and go for a drive. Now, you have to think about it in a common sense way. You're saying, you know what? I think there is no gravity. I think I'll jump off the building. Well, guess what? You're going down. There's some things that's ridiculous. You jump off, everybody's going to go down. So if you forgot it or you're thinking that there isn't, then that's just plain illogical. So you have to think about it. You understand it's like there's a thinking mind and a thought mind. The thought mind's the noise. The thinking mind's the spiritual mind. So I love that idea and how that stuff just manifested itself through, you know, you're writing it down and then you're not a techie, but you hit the memos button on your phone or whatever. One of the things that we talked about before we hit record was pencil to paper. I tell everybody, pencil to paper. The reason why I pencil is, first of all, I can't spell. And I'd be lucky if I could even read my handwriting because it's coming out so fast. I'm like, what is that word? And I'll look at it, but I'll erase things. I'll look later. I'm like, well, I forgot the word of or have or this or that. But when you're writing things, it's like painting. It's a painting coming out in a verbal way through your mind, through your physical being on paper. And I don't prepare any of these interviews till maybe 20 minutes before it starts. I don't want to know. I want this to be spontaneous. I want this to be fun. I want this to be energetic. I want this to be genuine. It's like sitting and having a cup of coffee. I don't want this to be practiced. Polished person doesn't exist. Polished people are movies and movies aren't real. I want to be able to have this where people can go, oh, I think I get that. If you get one thing out of any of these interviews, you get anything that what you're getting out today, you call Jacqueline, you even talk to her. Maybe you don't do it. Maybe you do something. These are options. Hope is all about having options. I don't think hope is a bad thing. Hope is about options. But if you're listening to the outside world and I go up to so-and-so and go, you know what? I think I'm going to follow what you do. I was like, well, if you do it the way I do it, Phil, it's going to be great. And then you go to somebody else going, that guy's an idiot. Use this. Oh, that guy's an idiot. Oh, listen to that girl. Listen. We're looking for the outside to give us answers, but it takes practice. You got to go to your MMMMN. You got to go to your mountain, whether it's a bath, where you're taking a sauna, whether you go swimming, where do you go for a there is no right or wrong answer. But when I say silence, you summed it up very well. For you, silence is talking, whether it's talking in your mind or talking a lie, whether you're standing there, I can picture you just standing there at the mouth going, la, 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 la. You're not talking loud, or you're just simply closing your eyes and talking to yourself. I do that all the time. I do that all the time. I can't tell you how many things I have practiced in my studio, in my home, out loud, talking in front of 5 people, 500 people, 1,000 people. I have a goal I want to do. I have things that I want to do. And it all manifests. The thing with manifestation is it's not exactly what you think it's going to look like in your mind. See, to me, when I do my seminars, if I have one person or 1,000 people, doesn't matter to me. I'm there to make a difference, to create that energy, to give that stuff out to people so they can move forward. And we're living in, people say, oh, we're living in an amazing age with technology. All right, it's really cool. But people were meant to talk. People were meant to hug and kiss and shake hands. And you need that physical interaction. After what happened a few years ago, people are realizing that the hard way, because we need, God put us on this planet to have interaction. We could share the energy here, but you can't feel that directly. See, energy is unseen. You can't see it. If you go for x-ray, you can't see x-ray, but it can cure you or you can find disease. But you can't see x-ray. I used to be an engineer in the medical field. So you can't see this stuff. So what you see, don't trust it. I would trust the unseen. When people go, well, I can't, God doesn't have a representation. Well, because God is Atman, or God is Krishna, or God is the Four. It doesn't matter what you call it. There's over 100 names. I've done a lot of research on this. So whatever connects you, whatever you want to call it, because I tell people, my philosophy is a spiritual philosophy. Now, if you believe in something,
my faith is Judaism makes it stronger. But that doesn't mean you have to have it. You don't have to do that. Whatever works for you, but connecting with people and understanding that my goal every day is to meet somebody, get a cup of coffee, you go to a restaurant, you get in a plane. I'm making that person smile. You don't know what's going on with them. And you get an attitude, that person's got a pissy look on their face. Well, what's their problem? Or they're snipping at you. Well, maybe they just found out somebody died. Maybe they just lost their job. You don't have a clue. And you kind of internalize that. And what you're doing is you need to change yourself inside your mind first. And then when that change comes out, you push out the positive energy through the antenna in your mind, and you push out that positive energy, and you keep that shield around you, that bouncing off the negative and going, how can I transform that person's day? How can I make that person's day? You know, you go up to somebody at a cash register or whatever you're at, and somebody's like, and you make a joke. So it's just a big smile. And then you leave, you turn around, and they're back frowning again. That doesn't mean they're in a bad mood. You don't know what's going on in their mind. They could be on complete automatic, which is what people do. And when you're on automatic, it's not necessarily the best thing, but that's how we teach ourselves to do. I want you to talk about the ecosystem. System.
The ecosystem. That was another download side note.
Give me the acronym, just so everybody understand. It's ECCCHO. So tell me about how that downloaded to you and what that's all about.
Well, that was another one. I was about, and I, like you said, spontaneous. Before coming on, all I did was a prayer and of me talking, but I was praying to God.
I understand.
My mom goes, Jackie, stop talking so much to God. He's going to fall asleep. You're pulling him to sleep. It's like, stop. He's got to, I go, Mom, he get around. He gets around everywhere. My mom goes, give him a break. She's joking, like me too, but not as much speaking. Praise all the time too, but anyway,
I love it.
Yeah. So I'm trying to. I prayed before right coming, but that night it was a couple months ago, and I was about to fall asleep, and just as I was literally putting my head down on the pillow, I jumped back, I bounced back up. And I'm like, oh my God, echo, and I just start blurting it out. I don't know where it came from. I have no idea, because this is more company based. Extraordinary You is more on an individual basis, where I work with groups, I work with individuals, I work more on the personal development. Echo is more company-based, because I'm doing corporate talks and speaking. Well, I will now. So yeah.
No. Let's clear it up with people. Just, and I want you to go back to this. Don't forget what you're going to say. So when you practice things and you visually do them in your mind, whether I do it here in my studio, we do it at home, and you do it in the mirror, whatever it does, eventually it happens. It's not even a question of if, it's already happened. You just need to catch up to yourself. So go ahead, tell me more about Echo.
I'm a fast runner, so I'm catching up.
You already passed yourself.
Oh, yeah, I'm like, I've done that.
It's like Captain America. I'm going dorking out now. Did you ever see Captain America?
Yes, I've heard of him.
Okay, so there's a movie, the original one, that happened a few years ago. He's so fast because he's genetically, it's like on your left, he keeps passing up somebody else he's working with. So you're already going past it. And it's true. In a sense, you are. It's just a visualization, an image. Those things come true, but you got to stick with it. So go back to Echo. Come on, go ahead.
Let's do this. Okay. It is Echo is basically, the acronym stands for working in the corporations. Can you imagine the ease for the environment within the company? Can you imagine you working in a company that the environment is positive, uplifting, everybody's communicating, which is a C, communication. Then the other C is collaboration. The other C is connection. And then the H is humanitarian. And then the O is for outcome. So can you imagine, and that fits into the quantum self-love movement. You imagine if every morning or every week or whatever, the company had this ideal or this philosophy, you wake up in the morning, you do the self-love and deeper yourself. And then you come into the company, and also when your family, you come in the company and you do something beautiful, whether it's paying a coworker a compliment, or hey, you have any problems with this, can I help you with that, or any kind of support you need. And that establishes a positive environment, which it's just permeates a whole company.
Yep.
And it's all, then that stimulates communication.
Yep.
Everybody's communicating back and forth, and you give someone a compliment, you go, can I help you? Can I support you in any way? What can I do for you? And then it just, then the lower reciprocity joins in. And then you have collaboration between the different companies, the different divisions and departments.
Yes.
Then you have connection. And like you said, we're meant to have connections with other people.
Absolutely.
you imagine that helps the company. So it's basically do a self-love and deep for yourself, then do it for the other people around. So it stimulates the environment, connection, collaboration, and communication. And then the humanitarian part is the age. Can you imagine if you do some kind of volunteer or some kind on the community, or even if it's a big company, global level or whatever level you could do, some kind of drive, food drive, some kind of volunteering, something that you could do something for the community at large. That establishes goodwill for the company. And then the O is for the outcome. So you have the outcome what you want, because if you have an environment, you have a connection, collaboration, and connection, can you imagine, and the goodwill from the environment and from the people outside, can you imagine what kind of company and the outcome you're going to have, win-win, because you're going to have all that positive income that you want and ROI and everything. Just care of yourself, because when you take care of others, everything takes care of you. The universe, everything takes care of you. It's that lower reciprocity, which I can't pronounce right now, but that's what reciprocity.
Reciprocity.
Yes, reciprocity.
Say that 10 times fast. Yes.
So can you imagine? So that was the download. Oh my God. So I can do just like high vibrating printing to empower individuals. I can do this company level. And that was just like, I wasn't thinking about that. It just came out of nowhere. It was just like, oh my God, there we go again. At least I was home. I had napkins. I didn't have to worry about napkins. So I would keep a notebook next to my bed. So I was just,
always.
Yeah, always. Always.
Always.
I next to me, but I forgot to use the phone again.
No, that's, you know, I've gone through different peaks and valleys. I always keep a book with me. I will go on vacation or go on a plane. And I just, one of the things that earlier on you talked about reframing, but giving back and having a company, you're reframing people, but it affects business to philosophy, philosophy to business. You're affecting everything along the way. And people want, you know, people to stay at their company. Well, you're not going to get somebody if they don't feel this purpose. So rewrite the interview process. Tell them what you want. Hey, why are you here? Jacqueline, why are you here? Why are you coming here? You need to feed your family. You know, I'm not saying that, but it's like, tell me why. Give me the energy. I don't want to kind of dig in and go, well, it sounds good. And you filled in the right words to the resume and you put, because that's what all people are doing, is they're looking on the internet. They fill in the words and this says, yeah, I'm trained on this. But if you don't really have the right energy for what you're doing, you're just going through automatic. Now, if that's what you want, neither of us are knocking this. You want to be on automatic, be on automatic. I'm just saying that if you're on automatic, how do you know what your purpose is? Maybe your purpose isn't being on automatic, but I doubt it. I will always believe there's a purpose for everybody's life, whether you're a mailman, whether you're a painter, whether you're a dentist, whether you're a manifester, whether you're a guitarist, there's a million things to do in the world. Write poems. One of the things I've discovered is there's a woman that wrote a book in 1904 called, her name was Elizabeth Towne, T-O-W-N-E. And she was, I would have loved to talk to her. She was a spiritual movement in those days. And it just never heard of her. There's so many people for decades have done things that nobody's heard of, or they've done it on a very small level. Everybody thinks, well, I'm going to be the next this or that. I'm really not interested in being the next this or that. People have listened to my philosophy. People go, this is really this and that. I'm like, it's not important to me. You know, when you love somebody, you'll make a living, but you have to give back. I give 5% back every year from whatever my income is, and I donate it privately, my business. Government knows, but nobody else does. Well, I'm going to donate it. So the more money I make, the more money I donate. And that's. But I want to just not write a check to Jacqueline's charity. I want to go to Jacqueline's charity and do something. But I want to take it pictures. I don't want you to tell anybody, but I'm going to do something. Whether it's playing music, or whether it's talking to people, or whether it's offering a free program, or doing a free lecture. Nobody's going to know. Because to me, it's, you know, you give money, that's great. But the money doesn't really touch people's lives. It might help them for a small period of time, and they might need the food, they might need the electricity, they might need the water. I'm not knocking it. But how else can you expand that into something that you're making a difference with people? And I love the echo thing. Echo. So those are the six elements we're talking about, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's magical number six. Yeah, those are the six elements that I believe it's to have. You talk about conscious communications. A conscious communication and conscious corporations and companies. Yeah.
I like that.
That's why when you told me it was, and you know what's funny? I remember when we reached out to each other about this getting together, having this interview. I was thinking about this conscious communication and you popped up. I'm like,
not a coincidence.
And listening all the time, I'm like, wow, I am always on high alert, like my antennas looking for synchronicities. I'm thinking, oh, wow, I saw it. I'm like, oh, my God, I want to be in this podcast. Oh, my God, this is amazing. Conscious communication. I love it. I love what you're doing. You're giving out to the world. It's beautiful. It's much needed. And that's what we need to do. Communicate at a conscious level, really from a heart-centered way.
Yes. Not from the outside noise. And when I started this in December, I didn't know what I was doing. I've learned so many different things about myself and going, I didn't think that way. Oh, look, I can improve the way my philosophy is in myself to be a better communicator and do the echo and do the six elements, and incorporate these things. And, you know, whether people, I had one person say that somebody became a customer for them. I'm not doing it for that reason. You don't have to contact me. It's not important to me. If somebody calls Jacqueline or somebody calls anybody that I'm interviewing and you have a conversation, obviously you're there for a reason. The conscious communication can, like I said, it can fit into anything. You could make shoes. That's a conscious communication. It doesn't matter how you're consciously communicating. As long as you do it in a positive manner, I don't enter any of the noise out in the world because the noise will never, ever go away. We have to change. When somebody says, I got to change the world. Well, guess what? You can't. You got to change. Exactly. She's pointing to herself. You got to change what's inside you, your inner knowing, your soul knowledge, your knowledge of your soul, your ajna, whatever you are, your echo, whatever you want to call this, however many steps, whatever works. And if you pick and choose different things and it works for you, great. If you need to contact people to get it better, great. Because the problem is human beings go back into habits and routines. So we get comfortable being uncomfortable with something you're familiar with. We go back in the same old thing because I'd rather be uncomfortable, but I'm comfortable, but I'm familiar with it. And they just sit there. You know, it's like, well, you know what? I'll contact Jacqueline tomorrow. I think I'll watch a TV show. But then you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, the same crap's going on. It's like, well, I'll contact her the next day. Well, I'll contact Phil. I'll do it the next day. Next thing you know, it's 10 years later and you're still doing it. And time, I don't have my sand timer. Sand timer is a huge part of this philosophy. It just keeps moving. It doesn't, you could change it around, but it keeps moving. And eventually the sand timer is going to be horizontal. And that's death. But death, huh? Flatline, that's it. You're absolutely right. You hit it right on that. You're flatline. But it doesn't mean you're dead. But see, I'm not scared of death. I used to be. But you know what? Death is life. That's the way it was designed. I don't want to live 300 years. This is not Star Trek. We can't control, you know, have control of these things and the atmospheres and then this, all this. That's a great fantasy and it's fun and it gets a good point of human conditions and different things we can do to make a difference. But it's not real. And realness is in we got to exercise the mind. And that's what conscious communication is all about. Exercising that mind. You've got to, these muscles and our arms and our bodies, we're so committed. We got to look great on the outside. We got to have these 12 packs and we got to look like this. And I got to have my face stapled to the back of my head so I don't show wrinkles. No, I don't. What is my dermatologist say? She doesn't call it age spots. She calls it wisdom spots. Because to me, and this is, I've been told this by many people, said these lines in my face, these are wisdom. That's the stuff that I went through in my life. I don't want to look like I'm a baby that I just came out of birth because I got nothing. We're so focused on youth. No, most of our life, we're not youthful. You know, 25, 30, it starts changing. We're changing from the minute we're born. But youth, I want experience. I don't want a movie or a TV show or a musical or whatever I'm listening to. I don't want it geared to something when I was a child. I want something to accentuate my life, your philosophy, my philosophy, the music, anything we do in our lives. I want to attract things are consciously communicated to me through my mind, through my spiritual self, because the only person you got to blame is yourself. And it all starts with the mind. I gotta thank you because we got to come to a close here, but I want to end this with you giving the audience some aphorism, something, I mean, you've given a ton of them, but something that really can make a difference and kind of, they go, ooh, I like what Jacqueline said. I'm going to use that the minute the end of the show. Something positive to leave the audience with.
Well, I believe everyone's extraordinary and they really have to tune up and get turned on to high vibration, really get turned on. Because like you were saying about death before, I read this somewhere, I don't know where. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of not having lived a full life. So yeah, so we want to live our highest, best version of ourselves, our extraordinary life, whatever that vision is for you, and really go out there and live full out. You know, stop living the sidelines or for tomorrow, or living small because you're afraid that ego sabotaging. Instead, live full out. It's okay you fall on your face because you could just pick yourself up and then really get up from where you are, like you said, from wisdom. And then you incorporate that into your life and you keep learning and you keep growing. You become more and more and more extraordinary. And it is time for us to all wake up to conscious communication, conscious living, heart center, heart base, and for everyone to do a self-loving deed for themselves and then do something for someone else and keep passing it forward so we could create that heart-centered connection of love, light, and unity. And that's what makes the world a better, more beautiful, loving place. It's all of us to unite as one.
I'm hiring Jacqueline after we're done to do a conscious communication podcast advertisement. So Jacqueline, I want to thank you again for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We got to come back and talk about, we could talk about a lot of stuff, but I'll end it like I always do on every podcast episode. I tell my audience to remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.